I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
All right, Ben Standig here, back for hour number three here as I'm sitting in for Chris Russell on the Team 980. We have talked a lot about the Capitals, the Commanders. We're going to get to NBA playoffs and the Wizards here with my guy Fred Katz. We're connecting with him in just a moment. The PGA Tour, meanwhile, or not the Tour, but the PGA players are at down in Charlotte for the PGA Championship, and this leaderboard, it looks. I joked with somebody the other day, it kind of looks like a Kemper Open leaderboard, for those who remember such things. It's not exactly guys at the top. Jonathan Vegas is leading. He's been around, but he's a guy. The PGA historically has been a championship where guys who kind of come out of nowhere, you know, randoms who you wouldn't put in a contender category have won a major, but it's been a little bit. It's been a little. Some of the heavyweights have typically been taking the titles here in the past. You got Matthew Fitzpatrick, who's won a major. He is up on the list, but he's a few back right now of Vegas. Jonathan Vegas is at 8 under. Fitzpatrick is at 4 under. But then you got to go really deeper to find some others. Bryson DeChambeau is at 3 under. Rory McIlroy. Is it 2 over? I'm looking here. I don't even see Scottie Scheffler. So look, it's fine for right now. The guys who just teed off for the afternoon are just kind of getting onto the course. So we'll hopefully see some bigger names jump up. But not great. And look, for the weekend, this is what matters. They've got to get this going on the weekend. Got to get some of these guys up. I'm not a McIlroy guy. But let's just say that I have reasons that I would like to see him improve his standing this week. We'll see. At least you got to get a couple guys. You do have Max Homa, who's a guy that's been in that contender category in recent years, although he stunningly went a full year, I think, without making a cut until fairly recently. He's at 5 under, tied for fourth. So there's a guy. Luke Donald is also tied for fourth at 5 under. Ryder Cup captain for Europe. He has been he's been ranked number one in the world previously, but it's been a few years since he has been at that level. All right, we're gonna wait here for a second to hopefully connect with Fred. I'll just say for these NBA playoffs, it is the NBA is it feels like it's a polarizing sport at times. We spend a lot of the regular season discussing. Is interest waning for this sport in the regular season? And I would say the answer to that is pretty resounding yes. I mean, you can't speak for everybody. Needless to say, millions and millions of people care deeply about the NBA. And I have historically been one of those people. I covered the Wizards for various outlets for a decade plus. It wasn't until I got to The Athletic and switched to the Commanders that I kind of peeled back off of that. Obviously, the Wizards are their own unique story for sure. But I think the regular season has had some issues. I think part of it is, you know, people get frustrated that every single team seems to live and die with the 3-point shot, and how that, you know, can, you know, it's like you're watching the same game kind of over and over again. Also, the NBA has had to rely on that older generation of LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant in terms of promotion, because it has felt like there's been a little bit of a lull with getting those next generation of stars. Obviously, Nikola Jokic, who will be in a game 7 against OKC, is, you know, boy, if you tell me he's already in the top 20 all-time best players, I'm not going to argue with you. Just an unbelievable talent. I'm personally rooting for the Nuggets to win in game 7 because I want to keep watching. I want to keep watching him play. No disrespect to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's the other MVP candidate and probably the leader, probably going to be the winner. And the Thunder, who are deep and talented and young, and there is a lot to like there with the Thunder. But, you know, Jokic would be, for me personally, a lot of fun. But, like, you need teams like – I guess what's going to be interesting is if the Thunder do win, and let's just say the Knicks beat the Celtics – you are looking at a Final Four that does not have those legacy names. You're going to have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Thunder. You're going to have Anthony Edwards and Minnesota. Edwards may, in fact, be that quote-unquote next face of the league, should that be a thing that people care about. This is the second year in a row that Timberwolves have made the conference finals. You also then would have the Indiana Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton. They've made the conference finals 2 years in a row. Haliburton was on the Olympic team, but was the one guy who basically kind of didn't play, but he's a really talented individual. And then you have with the Knicks, Jalen Brunson, just turned into a remarkable, remarkable talent. I don't know where I rank him in the league, but he is clearly one of the best closers. Those would be the guys that the league would be highlighting as in the Final Four. No Durant, no LeBron, no Curry, no Tatum even. Not that Tatum is part of that older group, but the Celtics, obviously, generally are viewed that way. And that would be interesting. The league may not love it from a rating standpoint, especially if the Knicks don't make the finals, but it would be good in terms of establishing where this league is. They need to get some of these younger guys, not just to play well, to resonate. And having them on this stage would go a long way towards that. It may not change the regular season perception of this league, but it would be a huge deal as far as getting some attention here for the postseason. Max, let me just, I know you're working on the show. Should I just keep talking some NBA here for the moment?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. When I dial the phone number, it's supposed to ring, and then it doesn't ring, but then after it stops for a while, it will say the number has not answered. So I don't know what's going on.
All right. Well, things are happening. I'll see. We'll make do. I will, I'll vamp a little bit more here as we do. I think that, so in terms of tonight with the Celtics and the Knicks, look, obviously no Jason Tatum, devastating Achilles injury, huge, huge bummer for basketball fans, obviously for Celtics fans. Now, the Knicks were essentially going up 3-1 before the injury. They did come, they did fall though in game 5. Celtics blew them out. Okay, so I think we've got Fred here. Fred, my guy, are you there?
Benjamin, I'm sorry about the phone mishap. How you doing?
We're all good. Look, there's nothing to worry about. We're here. We had to get this done. This is the reunion on a talking platform that people have been coveting. Me and Fred. I always went on Fred's podcast, and he would, it was more like a therapy session for me. He'd let me vent about whatever nuts idea I had about the Wizards. And he would be the, professional going, well, Ben, you might be overreacting there. I'm thrilled that you're here. And, I know you've got to be thrilled with these playoffs. This round has been a ton of fun. You're, all over the Knicks. We'll get to them in a minute, but what'd you make of that in game 6 last night? Nuggets beating the Thunder in this series has been all kinds of fantastic.
Yeah, it really has. And, you know, if you told me that coming into the series, the Nuggets were really going to keep it close, I would have thought, okay, you know, Nikola Jokic is just going to go for 35, 15, and 15 every game, and that's what's going to keep them in it. And it's not that Jokic hasn't been awesome. He has, but it's not like we've seen A++ Jokic style performance after A++ Jokic performance, you know, by his standards. A lot of the role players are really showing out. Christian Brown was really great in that game last night. Julian Strother just bursting onto the scene after he's kind of been in and out of the rotation. I've thought of him as a guy who, like, kind of has had to be really important in order for them to succeed because of that scoring burst he's able to give them, and he's struggled and obviously was great in extending their season last night. That's a really fun series.
It really is. You know, there's obviously the important parts going to Game 7 are Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren and Jamal Murray, and we get those are the guys. But you need those ancillary pieces, those role players to step up, hit the important three-point shot, play good defense, whatever. And I thought, for me, it drives me crazy when coaches – I get that they shorten their bench in the postseason, but when they shorten it to the degree that Denver did for most of the series, where they act like the guys who are on their bench are not NBA players, but you and me having to go in, they're like, we can't have that happen. And I think you lose some confidence from guys. You get your starters tired. I thought that was a factor for Denver in five and in game four and five. But this game, they got Strother going. They got Peyton Watson played good minutes. Do you think we're going to see Denver stick with playing those guys decent minutes no matter what? Or do you think if they get behind, that Adelman's going to go revert to, I'm just going to keep my starters on the court, and if they get tired in the fourth quarter, that's what's going to happen?
I think in a game seven, I will start this off by saying Adelman has been there for all of 6 seconds.
Right.
He coached three regular season games. His job right now, it's legitimately one of the most difficult ways that a head coach has ever started a job in the NBA, started a first job in the NBA. Three regular season games as a head coach before you have to go into the playoffs. You play a ridiculously difficult series against the Clippers, which you end up winning. Now you're in a ridiculously difficult series against a 68-win team that's going to seven. And we'll see how that ends up going. This is, I have to say, I've been very impressed with the way that Adelman has handled this team. I do think, but that being said, we just don't really have much of a sample size on who he is as a head coach yet. And it's kind of all guesswork. Coaches tend in a game seven to revert to the kitchen sink. Just, if something is not working, we're throwing it out. If something is working, we're sticking with it till it's not. And so I think those guys, especially after the way, you know, Strother played in game six, I think you give him a chance. But if he comes out and he's not hitting his shots, or maybe he's rotating the wrong places on defense, he's probably going to have somewhat of a short leash, because
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
He's going to go with the guys who he trusts to be out there in a tight game seven situation. They're just different and kind of want to unload every single thing onto the court when you're in those situations. So I imagine if something's not working, he's not going to stick with it long.
We're talking with Fred Katz, senior NBA writer for The Athletic. He's also, if you're interested, a host of the Katz and Shoot Knicks podcast. You can find that as well. Let me ask you this, Fred. Obviously, a game seven, it's always going to come down. There'll be some type of variable either that we don't see or just is overweighted in the game. Russell Westbrook is the ultimate wild card. And I'll be honest, like as a guy who, you know, I've watched him his whole career, saw what he did here with the Wizards for a minute, saw the not so great run with the Lakers. To see he has been more effective than I would have guessed. He's blended in more than I would have thought, but at the same time, he is still Russell Westbrook. What an X factor he is. I think he might be for Denver because Michael Porter Jr. has been struggling. They don't have much of a bench. What do you see as Westbrook here in this final game? He's going to play on the road at the place that made it where he became a star for the team, his new team. What do you think of Westbrook as like maybe the ultimate wild card in this game?
Yeah, he's had honestly a really good year, and I know he's had his moments where he – you know, falls off or, you know, doesn't look great for minutes or sometimes even long stretches. I think he's been really good this year. One of the things that's been really great for them, which I didn't see happening as fluidly as it has, is his chemistry with Nikola Jokic, which maybe I should have just seen that coming because nobody really goes to Denver and then doesn't have chemistry with Jokic.
Right.
But I thought of Westbrook as a non-shooter who wants the ball in his hands or needs the ball in his hands to be at his best. That's just stylistically, I'm not moralizing it. It's just stylistically that's when he's at his best, when he's got the ball in his hands. And he and Jokic have developed just like a really, really, really good two-man game where they'll go pick and roll and Jokic will roll and Westbrook will get him the ball. Jokic will stop. Westbrook will run around and dribble handoff. That doesn't work. Then they go into another pick and roll and it's just like they just keep picking at you. They keep scratching at you over and over, and they keep going into these dizzying actions until one of them frees themselves for a bucket. Westbrook is shooting like a ridiculously high percentage on passes from Jokic this year. Jokic is shooting a really high percentage on passes from Westbrook. They have made each other better this year, and we've seen that at good moments throughout the series. Westbrook had a really great moment late in the game he had last night where he ends up attacking and getting the layup in transition, which kind of helped put the game away. He's been good for them. And we've seen, even in this playoffs, where he can take a shot that's just an ill-warranted shot, and then the very next play, he makes some insane energy play to win him the game. So, yeah, obviously, it's an up-and-down experience with Russell Westbrook. But for the most part, he's been much better this year than I think a lot of people thought he would be.
Game 7, the winner faces the Minnesota Timberwolves in the conference final. Does the winner of game 7 go to the NBA finals?
If the Thunder win, I think I would have to pick them over Minnesota. If Denver wins, that's a tough matchup for them. They struggled against Minnesota all year. Minnesota is kind of constructed, even after the Karl Anthony Towns trade for Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo, they're kind of constructed to guard Denver. I mean, they beat them in 7. Last year, they beat them all 4 times they faced during the regular season this year, and I think Minnesota's playing better ball than it has all season on both sides of the court. They're loaded with perimeter defenders. They've got Rudy Gobert in the middle. They're playing well offensively. Julius Randle has been awesome for them during this playoff run, and Anthony Edwards is a guy who can go toe-to-toe with anyone. So I think I would pick Minnesota, and I wouldn't rule out Minnesota as having a chance against OKC. They most definitely would. But I couldn't say the winner of this moves on just because of the matchup concerns between Minnesota and Denver and how well Minnesota's playing right now.
All right, let's get to the game tonight. We're talking with Fred Katz, NBA writer for The Athletic, who prior to this elevated title of his was covering the Knicks for The Athletic as well. And obviously, big game tonight, Game 6, Madison Square Garden. The Knicks were up 3-1, and I don't know what happened, Fred. They just gave it away. Credit to the Celtics for hanging in there without Jason Tatum. Blew them out. The Celtics still have a lot of talent, even without Tatum. But, you know, it's Game 6. It's in Madison Square Garden. I guess I'm going to say better win this. You don't want to go back to Boston again. What's the key for the Knicks tonight? Why did, you know, kind of where did they go wrong in the last game, and what do they have to do tonight to close this out?
Yeah, I mean, they have kind of done this thing all season where they vacillated between looking like, oh my goodness, this team is so good, and oh my goodness, how is this team that was so good 2 minutes ago capable of playing so poorly? And they've done that so much this season, and I think we really saw that between games 4 and 5, where they go into game 3 to 4 to 5, where they kind of steal the first two games of the series to go up 2-0. They just lay an egg in game 3, and they get killed at home. They come back in game 4, and they fall down 14 points, and they've fallen down at least 14 points in every game of this series. And then all of a sudden, it's like every single Knicks player starts to contribute at the top of their game. Brunson, just insane shot after insane shot. It was his best game of the series. He was excellent. Karl-Anthony Towns is muscling Al Horford down low, and OG Anunoby is hitting timely jumpers, and Mikal Bridges is hitting every mid-range jumper he takes, and Bridges and Anunoby and Hart were excellent guarding the perimeter. Hart is just getting every single hustle play. Mr. Robinson is dominating on the board. It's like every Knick who could contribute in their way contributes at the A-plus way of their game. And the Knicks roar back, and they end up winning that game by 8. They were up double digits at one point. And they play a great game. They go up 3-1. And then the next game they come out, and they look like they kind of thought the series was over. And they don't run back and transition as much in that game. And the communication is off. Different guys are running different coverages at different moments than they're supposed to be running. Guy on the back end of the screen is running a different coverage than the guy on the front end of the screen. And that's something they struggle with all year. Like, the Knicks are at their best, they're all on one page. And they don't always stay on the same page. And so I think it's less a schematic thing than it is just like they need to lock themselves in so that Kat's not playing a drop and whoever's in front of him is playing a switch coverage, which happens time to time, and guys get open doing that. They need to work on their communication there. They need to pick up guys in transition. They need to prioritize stopping the three-point shot in transition. They need to prioritize stopping driving lanes in transition. And if they can do that, which we've seen them do it because they have played elite defense at times this series, then they have a really good chance, especially if you get an awesome Brunson game like you did in game 4, and that's always on the table. But if they come out and they lay another egg, then I don't think the schematic changes really matter.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, you know, even without Tatum, the Celtics have a ton of talent. I mean, I know Drew Holiday hasn't necessarily been himself, and we'll see if Porzingis is healthy. But, you know, Jaylen Brown was an MVP in the playoffs last year. Derek White's playing out of his mind. They have, and they're, you know, they're the defending champs. Until you knock them out, you know, they still have that crown. Let me ask you this one last question, then we'll go to the important topic of the Wizards. The Jaylen Brunson, you know, we love comparisons. You know, what player does he remind someone of? You can tell me if this is wrong, but the player that I comp him the most to, which won't make any sense off the bat, is Jimmy Butler, because neither guy for their position is the tallest, the fastest, the most athletic. You wouldn't like label them as either one of them as like a great shooter, though Brunson's obviously done, he knocks down shots. But they find ways to get it done where you're like, how on earth is this happening? I know Jimmy Butler kind of went flat after Steph Curry, or not after Steph Curry got hurt, but after the last like couple games. Look, the guy's, he's up there in age, didn't have a lot of help. But okay. But in general, he just finds ways to win. And that to me is what is so impressive about Brunson. I can't look at him and think, wow, this guy is just a dominant athlete. Boy, he's overpowering. No, he just finds ways to get into the cracks of a defense, to make a shot, to push off without committing a foul to create space. That to me is like my comp for Brunson. What say you, or just you've been around Brunson now. How is he doing this?
Tom Thibodeau once said to me that if you look at Jalen Brunson's face up footwork, it's all just like post up drills, but in reverse. And it's kind of hard to unsee when you watch his face up stuff. And so to me, I've kind of always thought of Jalen Brunson as like a conventional 1990s power forward, but in the body of a 6-footer.
Right.
And I think he kind of has the mentality and the skill set and almost the style of if you put a 1990s power forward in a 6-footer. So he's almost like if Anthony Mason was a really awesome scorer to me. You know, but was 6 feet tall. You know what I mean? He's almost like he's got that sort of unbelievable down low footwork. His whole game is footwork. The way he comes off of screens, that's all footwork. The way that he creates that space down low, that's all footwork. So to me, he's like an elite footwork guy. And so I would really compare him to like the great footwork guys of the past. And to me, his footwork is so diligently like 90s low post guys, but just evolved, that he's almost to me like closer to just if Patrick Ewing were really small and had to figure out other ways to score, you know, but still having that sort of skill set, that sort of footwork, that sort of skill level, where it's like when that guy gets you in that spot, he will figure out a way to get off a shot because the skill level is insane, you know? And so to me, it's almost like that, because I see where you're coming from in like vibes, but in terms of like skill set, there just aren't very many guys who are like that. You know, Mark Jackson was a point guard who was just awesome in the mid post and was great at that, but he wasn't the scorer or the shooter that Jalen Brunson is. You know, he was a really pass first facilitator who would initiate offense as one of the all time assist leaders. Whereas Brunson is much more of just an elite scorer. And so I can't really think of a great comparison for him when you consider like position and size. And I think that's why he is such an interesting dude to watch, because you're just like, I haven't really seen this, you know? There's almost like a Greg Maddux sort of level to him, of just like a pitcher who throws 86 and he's hitting the corners every time. I know no pitchers throw 86 anymore, but he's hitting the corners every single time and he's just painting. And you're like, how is this dude dominating guys in the steroid era? You know, like how was Greg Maddux dominating Barry Bonds? How did that happen? And it was just this precision and skill level and intelligence that allowed him to do it. I kind of get that sort of vibe from Brunson's game, which is what makes him so fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, in college, like you'll see guys like this that are undersized, but they play a lot bigger. But in the pros, in theory, that doesn't work. And yet somehow he's made it work. And, you know, what a journey for him. And, the Mavericks had him and Luka, and now they have Cooper Flagg. So there you go. All right, before I let you go, you know, Fred, of course, used to cover the Washington Wizards. That's how I got to know Fred and many of you as well. And he left this, you know, hallowed organization to go cover the Knicks, you know, whatever, to each their own. But Fred, since you left, they finally did what we all had wanted for a long time and tore the thing down and started over. And it's, you know, we're 2 years now into the era with Michael Winger and Will Dawkins. They've added a bunch of draft picks. And, you know, look, I think for the most part, you know, the Alex Sars and the Bub Carringtons and Bilal Coulibaly have looked promising. This isn't a Johnny Davis situation. The pieces that they have looked good, but, you know, we don't know where it's going. They obviously got very unlucky. They got the pick that was most likely they were going to get. They just didn't get the number one pick.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To get Cooper flagged, that many had hoped them. So they're going to add the 6th pick at least if they don't make a trade. They've got the 18th pick. They've got all these pieces. And I think Winger and Dawkins have done a good job with the veterans bringing guys in, taking on bad contracts to get picks, etc. Where are you at? It's year two. Where are you at with this organization going into this third year in terms of this timeline of when they're actually going to be good? I think people are willing to accept losing to get some of the picks, but only, you know, it can't go on forever. So where are you at with where the Wizards are with this timeline as they are look to rebuild?
I mean, I think it's going to be a little while longer, which I think is what the plan was from the beginning. Like, I think, you know, maybe if they lucked in, they had a 14% chance at number one. Maybe if they luck into number one, they get Cooper Flagg and he's just awesome right off the bat. Then maybe you intentionally speed up the timeline. But in all likelihood, you get the number six pick and you get the player, a player whose talent level and ability is commensurate with the number six pick. Let's say it's even a good pick. Next year, their first round pick is protected and top nine protected, top eight protected to New York. And so I think I would be very surprised if they made an actual organizational effort to compete next year, because they're going to want to keep that pick, which means they're going to want to make sure they pick inside the top eight. And I think there is a very realistic chance that they end up kind of taking a similar sort of route next year that they did this year. And they kind of continue to build and hope for improvement from those guys you mentioned, plus whoever they take at number six this year, and they just continue to try to build up assets and other, maybe swipe in for some other draft picks, make some, you know, Kyle Kuzma-like trades like they did with Milwaukee to get some extra young guy, an extra pick. I kind of think that's more like what we'll see from them over the next year. And then how long it takes them to compete will really be dependent on, like, if any of these dudes blow up. Like, right now, Sar has had moments where he looks like he'll shoot. It looks like he'll pass. He looks like he can rim protect some. But we don't know really what level yet. Koulibaly, we know, is a really good defender. He can do some stuff off the dribble. But is he Andre Iguodala with the Warriors, or is he Andre Iguodala with the Sixers? Is he that guy who can really lead an offense or be a number two of an offense of a decent team? Or is he somebody who's really best as like a super role player in that role? Carrington, I think we're still kind of waiting to see. Georgia, I think we're kind of waiting to see. So those guys are, I think, a pretty long way off. And I don't think the organization is necessarily like sitting there thinking that in a year or two, they're all going to be good to go. I think they need that one guy still who they want to build around and they see as the guy who can carry them organizationally. And I don't know if that guy's there yet, but we'll see. If somebody breaks out, then maybe it speeds it up a little bit.
Hard to argue with that analysis. Good job. Yeah, pack your patience, Wizards fans. It's going to be another bumpy year, but at least hopefully the younger guys continue to show development so you can get behind that, even if the wins aren't necessarily there. All right, Fred, you rock. Enjoy the Knicks-Celtics tonight, and then we'll enjoy reading your coverage in The Athletic going forward. We'll talk soon. Maybe even on a text thread I'm familiar with that you might be in. And I look forward to it, man. Have a fun time.
Yeah, you're the best. Thanks, Ben.
See you, man. All right. Fred Katz does a great job covering the NBA. Fred, I met here when he came to cover the Wizards and didn't honestly know him at all. He'd been covering OKC and Boston for a second, and he really does a fantastic job. He's the guy who finds the most random stories in the locker room and makes gold out of them, and that's how he's become a well-known writer. And also, he's got excellent insight into the NBA. All right, we're coming up here to the home stretch. I have not taken your calls. That's on me. We've been busy talking, but I want to do that. 301-230-0980. If you want to call in and lament about the Caps or just say, hey, you know, it's been a great year and, you know, who thought this they'd be this good? Or you want to talk to me about the Commanders? Heck, if you want to even talk about the NBA playoffs, I'm open. Whatever you got, Maximilian and I are here for you. 301-230-0980. Ben Standing with you till 4 here on the Team 980. All right, welcome back here. Ben Standing with you until the top of the hour. It's been a lot of fun talking about the Commanders, the Caps, the NBA playoffs with my guests. Now I want to talk to everybody here. 301-230-0980. I've kind of left it open. You want to talk about any of those topics I just mentioned, fire away. We do have a bunch of people already here on hold. Max, how about we punch up DC from McLean? He wants to talk about the Commanders. DC, what's going on?
Great day, Mr. Standing. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm talking sports on the radio. How bad could it be?
Hey, man, that's good. It's an excellent thing to do for a living. But my question for you is, I know it's the Preakness weekend or whatnot, so I want to use your eyes and the binoculars you use at practice and give me a trifecta of players, free agent, drafted, and invited to camp, mini camp, out of the rookies. Who looked the best to you? I know Jalen Lane caught a lot of eyes, but do you have two or three other guys that caught your attention out there?
Yeah. All right. Well, let me think about this. So if we're talking win, place, or show, I mean, look, the rookie camp, we were out there for one practice, and it's hard to, like, extrapolate too much. It's, you know, it's basically a walkthrough. They're just doing drills.
Okay.
But that said, you know, you get a look. You get to see them athletically. Yeah, a win, place, or show. All right, in the show category, you mentioned Jalen Lane. I'll go there. I mean, again, they only did a light 7-on-7 drills. But there was at least one play I saw where he was lined up in the slot primarily. They got him the ball in space, uh-huh. And the boost button, he clearly hit that. He's got that element. He can go from 0 to 60 very quick, and that is something, you know, okay. De'Ami Brown had that a little bit for them last year, primarily on deep throws. And, you know, Jalen Lane was getting the ball at the line of scrimmage a lot at Virginia Tech. I can see Cliff Kingsbury looking to do that as well. And I really think that the punt return game is where he may shine the most. You know, Washington's been okay in that spot the last few years, but they haven't had a guy where you're like, ooh, let's get excited. He's going to give them that. So I'll put him in the show category for it now.
Okay.
In the place category, give me the running back, Jacory Kroski Merritt. I mentioned him earlier. Again, the running backs, even in training camp, it's really hard to gauge because there's no tackling and so on. But when you just watch him in drills, the shiftiness, the burst that he has – in some of the drills is an element that this group just did not have last year. Brian Robinson's got the power. Austin Eckler has the, you know, the sort of like the old head shiftiness, like he knows what to do, but he's not really going to run away from anyone. And then, you know, McNichols is just a solid piece. seventh round picks. I can't go too crazy, but Kroski Merritt to me looks like a guy that could be effective. And then in the win category, give me Josh Connerly. I mean, look, I know he's a first round pick, but watching him in some of those drills, I tweeted out some video last week. His speed really stands out, both in terms of his, like, he was going up against a practice dummies. His speed with his hands attacking the dummies, and then with his footwork, you can see why athletically he's really interesting. How it plays out, so hard to say, but I get why people are interested in him as a first-round pick. So that would be my win, place, and show. Does that work?
Okay, that'll explain why Kingsbury wanted him so bad, because he'll be able to get out there on those screens and plays like that.
Absolutely. And DC, really appreciate the call. Yeah, having an offensive tackle that can get to that second level is a huge deal. And I think Connor is going to give them more of that opportunity to do that. Gary in Upper Marlboro, looks like you also want to talk Commanders. Gary, what's going on? What's on your mind?
I do. Great job today. What I want to talk about, and I didn't get your over-under with them, but I have them under the 9.5, and it's only because of the defense. And, you know, I'm disappointed that they did not go out and get an edge rusher in some fashion, because we knew at the end of last season that edge was a problem. And you go into the offseason with $90 million in salary cap space, all of this talk and chatter beforehand that all these players wanted to come to Washington to play. And what we added on the defense are a bunch of average players. These guys have never been great. They're average players. And when you just give up 55 points in the playoffs, I would have hoped that they would have addressed, you know, not only edge rusher, but at least get one blue chip player with that $90 million. Instead, they throw all of their money at the offense when the offense is one of the best offenses in the league. Now, at the end of the day, they got pretty good players, but I just don't think they addressed the defense that was a middle-of-the-pack defense last year, playing a bunch of against, like I said yesterday, the worst lineup of quarterbacks in the NFL. And this year, it's a different story. So I'm just wondering what you think about that and where your over-under is, and do you have the same concern about the defense? I mean, you know, they really haven't upgraded that defense at all. And they were a bad defense last year against bad teams.
Yeah, Gary, look, it's hard to argue against a lot of what you're saying. I talked about this earlier in the show with Nikki Javala from The Post. By the way, you can catch all the other interviews on the Odyssey app. I should have mentioned that earlier. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Look, it's hard to argue. I do think like at the secondary, I do think they improved at cornerback. And I'm including the Marshon Lattimore deal from last year, which is a factor in terms of the assets that they had available to them. Hopefully he's healthy, but if he is, then that should be a help. They got Trey Amos, et cetera. You're not wrong, though, about the defensive end group. I think their hope is that between Dietrich Wise and then Javon Kinlaw, who's more of a tackle, but they're going to play some on the edge, that helps them improve that 30th ranked run defense. We'll see. But in terms of the pass rusher, you're not wrong. There is not somebody that they obviously added that makes a huge difference. Now, I will say this. They needed a lot of different things. Like they needed nothing, and yet they needed a lot of different things simultaneously. And I don't have an issue with anything else that they really did, especially in the draft, going offensive tackle, cornerback, speed on offense. I think all that made sense. The Javon Kinlaw signing was curious, but they seemed to have a plan to use him a bit on the edge as a defender. So, look, I can't sit here. My view has been I can't sit here and say that they've improved significantly. And if what they have improved on, it's probably on the margins. So we'll have to see how that plays out when they get into Joe Witt's scheme and they can play it out. But I'm with you to an extent. Like, they did not add to that group. The only caveat I'll say for all of this is, even though they're coming off a 12-win season, it's only year two of this roster rebuild under Adam Peters. This roster was deficient in talent across the board. They've had to cover it up with a lot of one-year deals. And while they improved in other areas, yeah, they did. That's one spot that they didn't help out is the obvious athletic pass rusher. And once they pass on the draft, they needed some young athletic upside guy. That doesn't exist, even if they go out and sign one of these veteran free agents like a Jadeveon Clowney or a Von Miller or someone like that. So, you're not wrong, but again, something was going to have to give. They probably weren't going to solve all their issues. and they did address offense, which I think was important on the line. They addressed cornerback. They addressed receiver. Ed, you're not wrong. They didn't get to that. All right, one more here before we take a break. Stevie Ray in Baltimore. Stevie, what's going on your mind?
Well, let's see. First thing, I just definitely had to call in and speak to the great Ben Standing.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate your work. You definitely do a good job, and I'm going to put it here. I got to just to let you know my history. One, I have been a fan of this team since 1979. I was a Jack Pardee man, so I really enjoyed the way he ran that team. But fortunately, it didn't work out for him. Fortunately for us, that brought in Joe Gibbs. But what I'm getting at is where this team has been since I became a fan in 1979 and where it is now, it feels kind of like a roller coaster. You know, I mean, I went from a team that, was really good, and then all of a sudden, 81, it fell through the floor. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what would a 30-for-30 be like if you were to try to explain what's happened to the Washington franchise since what I think was the move that had brought them out of the doldrums from the late 40s to the end of the 60s, and that was bringing in Lombardi. And then they got, and then they moved on to better things. But I'm thinking to myself, this team, what they did in the past, it's ever since Snyder left. People want to say that that Jaden Daniels is why this team changed, or the coaching changed, or the regime. The biggest thing that changed in this team is that we finally got rid of Snyder. That was we could do nothing until that happened. And now that he's gone, the things that fell into place, certainly how we ended up getting the second pick in that draft, was phenomenal. If one more win, somebody was talking about it earlier, about just one more win that year might have dropped us back to number five.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we just ended up, I sat there, we were in a watch, and we were looking at Rivera and saying, "Are you stupid? What are you doing? Good God, lose this game. Please don't win this football game." And I'm certainly never talked like that about the Washington team before, but certainly in that situation, I was like, please lose. Please don't let that guy make so on. So what I'm getting at is I think the miraculous moves that this team has made from the middle of the summer in 2023, I guess it was, right? From the middle of the summer there, when Snyder sold the team, until we are where we are right now, there's a 30-for-30. How we got here.
Yeah.
How we ended up.
Yeah, Steve, look, I think you make some really good points. I mean, they were 4-5 in 2023. They weren't trending at all towards getting the second pick. They had to lose every game the rest of the way to do that. And they did it, and that's that made it all work out. I know the plan was not at that start of the year wasn't to tank. Ron Rivera was trying to keep his job. He took a shot with both Sam Howell and Eric Bieniemy, and Sam Howell was okay, but I think it was just a terrible game plan for a kid with no experience at quarterback to have him drop back 50 times and have a poor offensive line. But look, at the end of the day, I talk about this all the time. We can talk about whatever the team is, the quarterback play, the pass rush play, they're too old, they're too young, whatever it might be. Every organization, every business, it all comes down to who is at the top of the food chain and the vibe that they express. I mean, it's the Chicago Bears have been a mess forever. They've had the same ownership forever. Jack Kent Cook did a great job as an owner. When he passed away and his son took over, John K. Cook was in limbo for a long time until they knew who was he going to own the team. And that seemed to let North Turner stay probably too long in the job. And the team had some moments, but by and large started to peter out. And then obviously with Snyder, things ultimately went off a cliff. And now with Josh Harris, there's been a lot of good fortune, including, we talked earlier, Greg Zuerlein hitting that big kick in 2023 to help the Commanders lose and then get this pick. But it comes down to having the smart people at the top. It doesn't always work out, but you have to have somebody who understands what to do and hope things break your way. And that's changed. And hopefully for the Commanders, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn can take advantage of having an owner who's not going to meddle, who gets what needs to happen. And that is all the difference. There's no doubt about it. A 30 for 30 would be fun. I'm down with that. I know Max would watch as well. All right, we've got one last segment to go. If you want to call in quickly, 301-230-0980. Ben Standick here on the Team 980. All right, well, look, these 3 hours have flown by. It's been a lot of fun for me to get back in the saddle here. Thanks to Chris Russell for letting me jump in for him. Thanks to Nikki Javala, Steve Wino, and Fred Katz for joining me as well. Thanks to Max for handling things behind the mic. And, of course, thanks to everyone here for calling in, for listening. Got some good sports on this weekend. Knicks Celtics Game 6 tonight. Nats Orioles tonight, if it doesn't rain that out. It looks like we may be getting some bad rain here in town, but a lot to get to with sports this weekend. Enjoy your watching pleasure, and I'll see you next time.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.